Welcome to this week's Key Voices. I'm Adam Wainwright, bringing you a roundup of the latest education news and an interview with our special guest, Julia Clements, who is the Principal Educational Psychologist from Place to Be. So in the news this week, Ofsted published its new inspection framework for use from this September. Following a three-month consultation, they've scrapped plans for on-site preparation time and two-day short inspections for small schools. However, they are going ahead with the new quality of education measure and the separate judgments for behaviour and attitudes and personal development. The Department for Education will release more guidance about the right to withdraw students from sex education, as reported by Schools Week. However, they won't be releasing a definitive list of all of the exceptional circumstances for withdrawing students. And a quarter of teachers have witnessed off-rolling, with two-thirds thinking the practice is on the rise. This is according to an Ofsted poll of over 1,000 teachers in England. Under the new framework, Ofsted promises to crack down on schools found to be off-rolling pupils. Also this week, The Independent has reported that there's been a record number of calls to a helpline supporting teachers with their mental health. A charity called Education Support Partnership run the helpline, and they saw a 49% increase in cases related to workplace stress compared to last year. The TES has reported that Ofsted has U-turned over SEND inspections. They had planned to remove the high needs category for SEND provision from the further education inspection reports, but these plans have now been scrapped. And finally, the TES has also reported that the reception baseline pilot has been snubbed by over 7,000 schools. The pilot for the new assessment system starts in September, but of those eligible to take part, only 57% are actually doing so. And now on to our interview series. So this week, I'm delighted to be joined by Julia Clements from Place to Be. So thank you for joining us, Julia.
You're very welcome.
So to start off, could you just tell our listeners a little about Place to Be and the work that you do?
Yes, so we are a national children's mental health charity, and our counsellors work directly in primary and secondary schools. And they offer one-to-one counselling support or group work and drop-in support for students. They also have a really important role supporting teachers, and we have a team of parent counsellors too. Another really important part of our work is that we offer training and consultation around a range of child and adolescent mental health needs.
Excellent. Thank you. It must be really important and challenging work.
It is.
So we're currently entering exam season, obviously, in the summer term. And we know that a lot of school leaders are concerned about the impact that has on the mental health of pupils. So is there any advice you could give as to the kind of support they can offer pupils at what is quite a challenging time?
It is a challenging time. And I think if schools can put in place some stress busting activities, so things like mindfulness or yoga, and some schools have introduced the daily mile. And all the evidence suggests that if you're physically active and stay active, it can be really good for helping lift your mood and to manage anxiety too. So that can be really important this time of year. Perhaps display some kind of 10 top tips for how to support yourself and how to stay mentally well during this stressful exam period. And also if schools can make sure that the students know that they can turn to staff for support at this time.
Thank you. That is really useful advice. And if a senior leader does have serious concerns about the mental well-being of a pupil, what sort of steps can they take initially?
I think it's really important. If you're concerned about a pupil, talk to that pupil. Ask about feelings and take those feelings seriously. Validate them. I think sometimes we over-reassure students, and actually we need to hear their distress. Certainly talk to their parents and their carers. And if you're still really concerned, make sure that you ask them to get a GP appointment. But schools can still work with that student. They can still allocate a key member of staff, and that child can check in with that member of staff, perhaps at the beginning, middle and end of the school day.
Thank you. That's, again, very useful advice. We've spoken a bit about exams, but are there other common situations or times of year that might sort of cause additional stress for pupils or for people to be on the lookout for?
I think this time of year can be particularly stressful because not only have we got tests and SATs and public exams, but also pupils are beginning to wind down, to finish off, to have an ending of a year group or perhaps a key stage, or in fact school. So pupils are not only thinking about how they can get through their exams, but also about the change ahead. Perhaps they're off to secondary school or to college or uni. So there's a lot in the air, if you like, at the moment that causes concern. But again, schools can help reassure students that although there's lots of change ahead, there's also lots of continuity, that they'll still be looked after and cared for in their next education placement. So maybe encourage extra visits, and certainly liaise well with the new college or school if the child's moving on.
That sounds sensible. You couldn't pay me to transition to secondary school again. So yeah, it's a stressful time for anyone, let alone an 11-year-old.
It is. So
teachers understandably say that in a class of, you know, 30-odd pupils, it can be quite difficult to spot where a pupil is struggling and the outward signs aren't necessarily immediately obvious or visible. So what do you think can be done to encourage pupils or to foster an environment where pupils feel more comfortable opening up emotionally about their mental well-being?
I think that is a really important part that school can play. So I think having conversations about mental health and making it a really ordinary part of what we do in schools, and that can be formally like part of the curriculum. So PSHE curriculum expects us to be teaching about mental health, or you can talk about mental health as part of a circle time. But even in our informal conversations with students, making sure we check in with them and check out how they're feeling. I think teachers can be a brilliant role model as well. So they can acknowledge their own stress and say, oh, I'm looking forward to my swim after school. That's great for me tackling a difficult day. So I think, you know, school's a great environment for pupils to be open. And if you're concerned about a child, just check in with them, ask them how they are.
Thank you. And you'd hope it's a time where the national conversation is sort of making it a bit more acceptable for everyone to open up. So yeah, if teachers can foster that themselves, hopefully it's easier now to do that than it has been previously.
Absolutely. I think we have a much more open-minded way of thinking about mental health, and hopefully it'll be on a par with our physical health, that we're often quite good at talking about our physical ailments, but actually we should talk about how we're feeling as well.
Absolutely. Do you have any additional resources that you'd recommend to school leaders and teachers to help them support the well-being of their pupils?
I'd encourage anyone listening to visit the Place to Be website. We have a range of resources, including assembly plans and lesson plans and blogs and articles that really help support staff in schools in how they teach and how they think about mental health with their students. We've also specifically put together a resource that helps teachers talk about mental health. We linked in with an organisation called Fink. So we have a pack of cards, and that helps guide conversations about mental health, because school leaders tell us that sometimes their staff members find that difficult.
Yeah, absolutely. It must be. But yeah, having looked around your site as well, I can certainly say that you've got a lot of really useful material on there. I think it's a really, really useful website. Well, finally, it's a key question. So given everything we've been talking about, and obviously this is a complex and, you know, important topic, but if you had one piece of advice for schools to sort of take away from this and act on immediately, what would you say that would be?
I think that would be to prioritise relationships. So mental health develops within the context of healthy relationships. And all the research indicates that children need at least one healthy relationship with a safe and trusted adult in order to flourish. And for some children, that will be a member of staff in school. And if you get to know your pupils, you can be really well placed to spot early signs, to notice changes in attitude or changes in behaviour that might in fact indicate an emerging mental health need. So for staff to offer that supportive listening, but also know to refer on if they're concerned about a pupil's mental health.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much for talking to us, Julia. I certainly found that very enlightening, and I'm sure all of our listeners did too. So thanks for your time.
You're very welcome.
Thank you very much for listening. Key Voices is produced by The Key, giving education leaders the knowledge to act. Special thanks again to Julia for talking to us today. And members of The Key for School Leaders can access hundreds of articles on the latest issues in education at thekeysupport.com.